You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hello and welcome to this special CEO series of the On The Money Markets podcast for Friday, the 2nd of August. I'm Raina Bosch, filling in for Ricardo Gonçalves. Well, the ASX has clocked its worst single trading session in 18 months, today falling a massive 2.1%, the result near eradicating those midweek post-inflation gains. That's as fresh US data indicated that perhaps the Federal Reserve has missed its window to lower interest rates. We'll talk more on that a little bit later, but first, Australian sleep apnea device maker ResMed has today posted an 11% boost to annual revenue on strong demand for its respiratory devices. That's despite a rollercoaster ride for the stock price over the past year. The company now looking to firm ties with tech giants and harness the potential of artificial intelligence. To kick off our CEO series, Raina Sarimpayat spoke with ResMed CEO Mick Farrell over in the US.
Yeah, look, we raised our dividend by 10%. We had incredible free cash flow in the quarter, over $415 million. And, you know, we like to give it back to shareholders as appropriate through dividends and share buybacks. But the most important thing we do with the cash we generate is reinvest in the business. And we put 7% of our revenues back into research and development, innovation. And that's what's produced results over these last 12 months. There was some, you know, externalities around some new pharmaceutical medicines. And we think a bigger impact from the consumer tech industry where the wearables are starting to identify patients with sleep apnea. But those external aspects to the side, ResMed's done really well this last year. We focused on getting more patients into the channel. We focused on being the market innovation and market share leader by helping people sleep better, breathe better, and live better lives in their home. And we did a lot on new product launches, hardware like new devices, the AirSense 11, AirCurve 11, the F40 mask, but also software, the app called MyAir that 8.3 million patients use to check their sleep scores every day, their Maya score, and generative AI that we're using to help people sort of concierge their path through sleep medicine.
Okay, we'll drill into some of those a bit later, but just we have to talk about the share price. So that was hit about August, September last year after news of Ozempic's efficacy and other GLP drugs came to light. And then again around June, I think, or more recently when your competitor, Eli Lilly, came forward with positive research or findings about sleep apnea. It's a difficult space that you live in, isn't it?
Well, look, yeah, there's always been a lot of aspects that can influence sleep apnea, or as I call it, Raina, sleep suffocation. Because the Greek word for without breath, apnea, not that many people know, but suffocation, everyone can understand. And there are 1 billion people worldwide who suffer from obstructive sleep apnea or obstructive sleep suffocation. And our challenge, ResMed was started 35 years ago by my father, Dr. Peter Farrell, bought technology from the University of Sydney through Baxter Healthcare, but then he bought it out of them for just over $1 million Aussie dollars. And I did check the market cap this morning is around $30 billion US dollars, about $45 billion Australian dollars. And so there's a really good return that there's been with this company for 35 years. But there's always been external factors that can move that up and down. And competition, we were born to be competitive. I look at the Australians in the Olympics right now, how they're dominating in the pool. ResMed's kind of like that in the medical device field, that we started out as a small company in Australia and we were born global and have had to compete and grow globally. We're in 140 countries now, $4.5 billion trailing 12 months, $30 billion market cap. So we're a big player in the space. But yeah, look, competition's different. And, you know, everyone thought, I think, 12 months ago when there was some new data from Eli Lilly on some of their GLP-1 drugs, that this was a big threat to ResMed. And that did have an implication on the stock market. We went from $30 billion market cap in US dollars down to $20 billion. So 30%+ reduction in 90 days. And it was mostly on rumors that these GLP-1 drugs would reduce the number of patients with obstructive sleep apnea dramatically in the world and fewer, you know, people with sleep apnea. We knew that wasn't true. As a biomedical engineer that's been in this space for two decades, I knew it wasn't true. And we said that. But what we had to do is prove it with data. How do you address lack of education awareness? You produce data. And this quarter, we just published data on 811,000 patients who have a GLP-1 prescription and who also then got a positive airway pressure prescription, so a CPAP, an APAP, or a bilevel PAP prescription. And what we found is not what people thought last August, where this is a threat or a headwind to the business. It's actually an opportunity and a tailwind for the business. The rumors were GLP-1s are going to be slowing down the number of patients, it's going to be tougher, and they're going to quit more. None of that is true, and we continue to perform. But look, it's a lot. It's a marathon here. It's not a sprint, and we love giving our results every quarter, and the numbers this quarter were good, and we'll continue to do that throughout our fiscal year 2025, these next four quarters.
Everyone, though, has heard of Ozempic. Not everyone has heard of ResMed and its products. What are you going to do to change that? Is it a marketing question, or is it more and different products? And what are you looking at?
No, really good question. And look, ResMed's market cap, I was bragging about $30 billion, but if you combine Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk, their market cap together is about $1.3 trillion. So we're 3% of them. And so it's hard to get, a brand name of a med tech company, as innovative as we are within our space, to sort of the consumer brand awareness level of a big pharma company or a consumer tech company. And we're not going to try to take on Apple or Samsung in the consumer tech space. We're going to partner with them. So the latest Samsung Galaxy Watch got FDA de novo clearance to detect moderate to severe sleep apnea. So they went to the FDA and got medical classification to be able to detect sleep apnea. That is a huge sort of mic drop, if you like, in the field of consumer tech. Apple, with their watch, they already have a one-lead EKG. They also have oximetry. I predict that Apple Watch will have sleep apnea detection capability within 12 months. I also predict that Google's Fitbit, which also has been tracking sleep for a decade, sleep quality, and gives scores to people in the morning, that they will be able to detect sleep apnea within the next 12 months. I think those consumer tech companies, and by the way, if you add up the market cap of Apple, Samsung, and Google, you're now at like $7 trillion. Again, I'm not going to go fight that wave, but like these big waves, if you're looking at the Olympics in Tahiti there, we're going to ride this big wave. And what ResMed's job is not to compete with a consumer tech company that's saying I'm screening all these patients. It's to say, great, a consumer tech company has identified a sleep suffocation problem. How can ResMed turn that to be the sleep health concierge to help that person who's been told by their watch or their wearable, you suffocate at night, and now they're all worried? How can we help them find a doctor, find a pathway, find a prescription, get on therapy, and stick with that therapy for life? Same thing with Big Pharma. It's not for me a threat of Eli Lilly and Novo. They're not competitors. When they go out and, do late night television as they're allowed to do in the US or whatever other campaigns they do in Europe where they're not allowed to do that, they bring people in with these household brand names into the primary care physician. And when you're with that GP and you say, hey, I saw this new drug that's supposed to cure my weight, my diabetes, my cardiovascular disease and everything, give me the prescription, doc. The medical professional says, great, well, let's assess you. And they assess you for everything. If you have high blood pressure, they make sure you get on a medicine. If you have sleep apnea, they make sure you get a prescription for the lowest cost, most efficacious, and most proven therapy, which is positive airway pressure therapy. And so that's what we're seeing in the market there. I don't need ResMed's brand to be the same level as Eli Lilly or Ozempic. But what I do need is when you come in asking for that miracle drug for sleep, that the doctor knows ResMed. The doctor knows the prescription levels. And we have incredible brand awareness in pulmonary and critical care and urology physicians, and we're getting better and better brand awareness amongst primary care physicians or GPs.
Okay, so from what you were saying, health tech will be a big part of your future. What about artificial intelligence? How is that factoring into your development?
So as we look to invest in these digital health areas, we're looking at artificial intelligence for compliance coach. We have a new AI product that's been launched to our US home medical equipment providers who are taking care of many, many thousands of patients. And the AI does a lot of the FAQs, the chatbot stuff and the working out when a live human is needed, you need to bring them to a nurse or bring them to a doctor. But it takes care of so much of the other parts that it lowers the cost of setting a patient up on our device by 50% and increases the adherence up to 87% adherence in 90 days. And we also launched, actually in Australia, New Zealand, we launched a generative AI, Gen AI product that we called Dawn. And I think the project team called it Dawn because, you know, that's when the sun rises and after a great night's sleep, you see the dawn, you feel great. But Dawn is an interactive Gen AI product that takes the wealth of data, 19 billion nights, all the research that ResMed's done over 3.5 decades, and turns it into a sort of virtual sleep concierge that can help that person if they have questions about sleep and breathing, help them find their path to better sleep and better breathing, which often is screening, diagnosis, treatment, and management, but can be many lifestyle issues around caffeine, around exercise, around drinking water, and all the types of things that lead to better sleep health and better breathing health.
That was Raina Sarimpayat speaking with ResMed CEO Mick Farrell. Now for more on what caused that mass sell-off across the Australian stock market today, plus what's next for the Aussie dollar, I spoke with Marja Bin Zaman. She's the head of FX research at ANZ.
Corporate earnings overseas, especially in the tech sector, were weak. And further to that, we saw data last night that shows that US manufacturing is also starting to show signs of weakness. And how this is going to possibly impact U.S. growth ahead. Furthermore, in the U.S., the data that was incoming last night also showed that labor market is now also starting to show signs of weakness. And, you know, I think probably investors are now worried that the Federal Reserve may have missed its window to cut interest rates before undercutting the economy's growth. They did keep interest rates on hold at this meeting, though we do expect a rate cut to come into play in September. So, again, looking ahead, all of this really depends on how the U.S. economic momentum unfold, noting that they've had a strong GDP number with growth at 2.8%, well above historical averages.
The Aussie dollar has also experienced sustained weakness of late. What can you tell us?
Look, I think with the Aussie dollar, to be specific, you know, it has been down this week on the back of risk-off momentum globally coming from, again, disappointing corporate earnings overseas. Tech stocks have been down on weaker earnings. Furthermore, we have seen ongoing geopolitical risks, which, you know, has become a little bit, has picked up more from the Hamas-Israel war. And this is driving demand into safe haven currencies like the US dollar, the Japanese yen, the Swiss franc, and Aussie dollar being a more cyclical currency has been impacted. This week, we actually also had Q2 Australian CPI that came out, and this was a little cooler. And so expectations of any rate hikes in August have now been erased. And that has weighed on the Aussie dollar too. Now, today, we're going to get U.S. employment data if it shows moderating job and wages growth, underscoring softening of the U.S. labor market. This will likely firm up rate cuts in the U.S., which would then drive U.S. dollar lower and hence the Aussie dollar upwards.
That was Marja Bin Zaman, head of FX research at ANZ.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.